1 to 10, and then 19 to 21. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Down to verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a God who communicates. And we pray that you'll reveal yourself to us now as we listen to your word. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. So what does God expect of us? What does he really want from you and I? When we read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, we can get the impression that he wants us to serve him or else. I mean, if we don't serve him well, then bad things kind of happen. And the Bible can seem to be full of rules and commands that we're just supposed to follow, which some do well at and some don't do so well at. In 1 Samuel 3, Israel isn't doing so well, as is common for their history. And as a result, it's a time when God was quiet and there weren't many visions, it says. Look in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." This was the time of judges. It was a time when there was this repeated cycle in Israel's history where they'd be worshiping the Lord, they would wander away from God, another nation would come and conquer them, God would raise up a judge who would deliver them, everything would be good for a little while, then they would wander away from God, another nation would come conquer them, God would raise up a judge who would deliver them, and everything would be good for a while, and repeat, rinse and wash, right? Over and over again. And so Eli here, he is an old priest. He's losing his sight. And he's an example of someone not doing so well. Though he had served fairly well the Lord, his sons were priests. They were very evil. They were blasphemous. They were corrupting the temple and the worship of God. And Eli, as his father, didn't do anything about it. And so in chapter 2, we learn that a man of God comes to Eli and says, "Because you've disobeyed, because you've not taken care of my temple and my worship, there's going to be judgment against you and your family. I'm going to remove you from the priesthood and your boys." And so this is what the Lord begins to speak to Samuel about in our text here, beginning in verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end." Now, I don't know about you, but it can feel the same for us sometimes. We're trying to serve God. We're trying to do the best we can. We continue to fail, and we can't help but feeling that God's not kind of disappointed, that we keep going through this cycle of doing well, wandering away, coming back to God, not doing well, coming back to God, and that we just go through this cycle and cycle, and God is up there going, I don't know about you. You know, I don't know about you, Ralph. A microcosm of this in my life is this problem I have with food. I don't have anorexia or anything like that. I have this problem where I spill food on my shirts all the time. Now, I've been eating for a long time, you may have guessed, and you'd think after a while I'd have enough practice where I could get this down. But no matter how hard I try, I will regularly spill food on my shirt and stain it. So if you look at my shirts closely now, you'll start seeing the stains. And so I go through this cycle of I can do this, I can do this, I can't do this, here's another stain. I can do this, I can do this, I can't do this, here's another stain. This pattern is very familiar to me, and it probably is to you as well. But there are always a special few who seem to serve God well, who don't spill food on their shirts or do things like that. And this is where Samuel comes in. The story of Samuel is that his mother, Hannah, was barren, and she was seeking God for a son, for healing. And she had pledged that, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve you. And so the Lord remembers her, and this is in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, the Lord remembers her and gives her a child, Samuel. And so she weans Samuel and then brings him to Shiloh and offers him to the Lord for service. Now, I need to say that at the time of Judges, at this time, right after the conquest of the Promised Land, the tabernacle of God that had traveled with Israel through their wanderings was now settled in Shiloh, which is about 30 miles north of Jerusalem. And so they had built a building around the Ark of the Covenant where the Ten Commandments were, and that's where Israel came to worship. And so this is where Eli is. This is where Samuel goes to live and to serve the Lord. So Samuel grows up serving in the temple, opening and closing the doors, lighting the lamps, cleaning things up, assisting Eli in whatever he needed. And Hannah, his mother, would come and visit him every year. But Samuel's a faithful servant of God. He's one of those guys who just seems to get it right. He's growing up in the temple. He's growing up in the Lord. The kind of person we feel like, now, there's someone God's happy with, right? There's someone who's doing it right. And because that's what God wants for us, to be like Samuel. But I want to ask you, if the Lord only wants us to serve him, which most of us struggle with, this would be the end of Samuel's story. Then we'd move on and say, see, this is a great guy. Now let's go on and talk about someone who didn't do so well. But if we look at the sweep of God's story, we see something entirely different, that it's not about God looking for people who will serve him. He wants far more than servants. Let's look at who Samuel is. First of all, it says he's a boy, which we assume that he's probably a young teenager. Now just think about that for a minute. Samuel's a teenager. Okay, enough said. All right, so Samuel's a teenager. And it says he didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the voice of the Lord. In verse 7, it says that explicitly. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So Samuel is a teenager. He is serving God, doing really good things, but he hasn't come to a place where he really knows God, doesn't recognize God's voice. And we see this clearly in the story. One night, he's sleeping in the area of the temple where the ark of God is and the lamp of God. The lamp of God refers to the seven-pronged lamp that was fueled by olive oil. And every night as the sun went down, the lamp would be lit and it would be lit all night long as an expression of the word of God giving light to his nation Israel. And so what the teller of the story here refers to is that the lamp hadn't gone out yet, meaning it was still at night, which we can understand because both Eli and Samuel are still sleeping. So Eli's in another room. God calls Samuel, but he thinks it's Eli calling him. Verse 2, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am," and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Now we can understand this. Samuel hears his name called, and he assumes, well, Eli can't really see, so he probably needs my help. I'll go and help him out. Okay, well, that's good, but it almost gets a little humorous here because it happens again. He lies down, the Lord calls his name, he thinks it's Eli, and he goes to Eli, and Eli says, "I didn't call you, go lay down." Okay, and it happens again, the third time, Samuel's laying down, God calls his name, he goes over to Eli, and Eli starts going, "Okay, I think I know what's going on here. Samuel, if you hear your name called again, it's not me. So if you hear your name called again, I think it's the Lord who's calling you. So just say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And so he does exactly that. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And sure enough, the Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel does what Eli tells him. Now, I read this and I think, you know, Samuel's a lot like me, a little dense, you know? He's not quite getting it, that God is calling him, God's speaking to him, and he's just not kind of getting that idea. He's not recognizing that God is speaking to him. So I love the fact that God now comes to Samuel. He's not just calling him. He said, "Okay, you're not getting this, so I'm going to come over and hang out with you, reveal my presence to you, say your name twice now, Samuel, Samuel." He's ready, and he goes, "Okay, speak, Lord, I'm listening." Now, if we're looking at the story, what we need to see here is God has such grace, such patience, such kindness with Samuel, right? He's very persistent, but he's not disappointed. He's not getting mean. He's just saying, "Okay, now you need a little help. I'll come and help you here, all right? Now it's me, the Lord speaking. Would you respond to me?" Such grace, such patience, such persistence, such kindness. So why is God doing this? If Samuel's already serving faithfully, already doing all those good things, what is God up to? I submit to you that the Lord doesn't want us just to serve him. He created us to work with him as partners. The Lord doesn't want us just to serve him. He created us to work with him as his partners. So in the same way God lets Samuel in on what he's doing and invites him to partner with him, he does the very same with us. The Lord is bringing sight to the blind. He's bringing release for the prisoners. He's bringing rest for the weary. He's bringing justice for the oppressed in the world. That's how Jesus introduced his ministry. He's building his kingdom on earth, a kingdom of love and reconciliation and justice, and he has created us to join him. Now, if God just wanted servants, he'd give us rules and instructions to follow and say, "Here you go. Good luck." But God gives us the Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is given to those special few who are called to partner with him. But now all of us are called to partner and are given the Holy Spirit so the Lord can speak to us and we can respond to him. Every one of us. And there's a huge difference between being someone's servant and being their partner, isn't it? Isn't there a huge difference? And Jesus calls us friends or partners. Let me read just a couple verses to you from John chapter 15. Verse 15 of John 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I no longer call you servants. You are my friends. You are my partners, because I'm making known to you everything the Father has made known to me. I'm letting you in on what we're doing in the world and inviting you to join us, to bear fruit that's going to last. God's at work in the world. He has been from the beginning of time, and he invites us to join him, to work with him and partner with him. I think that's pretty amazing. Don't you? Maybe? I mean, have you ever been asked to be a part of something really important, really big? Me neither. But just to promise, just imagine, you've heard of Bill Gates, right? Bill and Melinda Gates, they have this Gates Foundation that billions of dollars have been donated to them. And their mission is working to reduce inequity in the world. And so they have lots of initiatives all over the world, working with poor, working with education, working with medical care, all these things. Now just imagine, this week you're at work or you're making dinner or whatever you're doing, and you get a phone call, and it's Bill Gates. Hey, this is Bill Gates. Hey, we're doing this thing around the world, trying to do away with inequity, and we were wondering if you would join us. How would you respond to that? Oh, I'm kind of busy, Bill. Got lots of things going. Probably not. You might say, well, I don't know what to do. How would I be a part of something like that? Don't worry about it. We'll provide everything you need, all the training, all the equipping. We just want you to join us. Now, that would be awesome. But it's even more awesome, much more awesome, that the God of the universe calls you to join him in changing the world. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the world's kind of fallen apart lately. Have you noticed that? and we can do the same thing like with this fictitious conversation with Bill. We can say, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. You know, I got lots of things going. Can't really help you with that. Or we can hear his call. Hey, will you join me and go with me and make disciples of all nations? Will you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? And I'm going to be with you always. I'm going to equip you and give you everything you need to accomplish this partnership that we have. And God has the resources to do it. The Lord doesn't just want us to serve him. He created us to work with him as his partners. And he provides everything we need to make that a reality. So what I believe we really need then is to change our mindset from being servants to being partners. It's a whole different attitude. And in a couple specific ways, I think this takes place. First of all, as partners, we can expect God to pursue us and speak to us. As partners, we're expecting that God is pursuing us and he's speaking to us. See, God is persistent here. He's patient with Samuel, calling his name and finally revealing his presence to him. Now, with a servant mindset, we can miss how God pursues and speaks with people. The text we've been looking at from Genesis to Exodus and now 1 Samuel, from Old Testament to New Testament, what we see is a God who pursues people, who speaks to them and invites them to join with him. Right? Who have we spoken with, looked at? We've looked at Adam and Eve, how God pursued Adam and Eve. God pursued Abraham, follow me, come join me in what I want to do. He pursued his son, Isaac, and he pursued Jacob. And now here we see him pursuing Samuel, He keeps pursuing people, inviting them. Hey, I'm up to something in the world. I want you to join me. Jesus comes, and what does he do? He pursues people and says, look, I'm doing this thing in this world called salvation and redemption. I want you to join me. And now through the Holy Spirit, he continues to pursue us and speak to us and invite us to join him. We're here today because Jesus has pursued us. And he's patient with us. He's persistent with us because he loves us. And he keeps inviting, come join me. Won't you join me? Be my partner in what I'm doing. He wants to partner with him in what he's doing in our family and in our church. He wants us to partner with him in what he's doing in our neighborhood, in our workplace. He wants us to partner with him in what he's doing in the greater Lafayette area, in Indiana, in the United States, in the nations. And so we can have that expectation as partners. God's pursuing me. God is speaking to me because he wants to partner with me. So that's one part of our shift in attitude or mindset in order to participate with God. But there's another one that I think is just as important. It's not only just the expectation, but as partners, then we can give God our attention and do what he says. If he's going to speak to me, then I'm going to be paying attention. Lord, what do you have to say to me? I know you're speaking. I know you want to reveal yourself to me. Samuel simply gives the Lord his attention. Such simple words, right? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So simple, but not so easy, right? But we can do it, and I know we can do it because, for example, we might expect that we're going to get an email, or we're going to get a text, or there's going to be a post on Facebook or Instagram, or we're going to get a phone call. And because we have that expectation, what do we do? What do we do? Right? We're checking. We're always checking. We're always giving our phone our attention because we're going to get something. Something's coming. Someone's going to communicate with me. Now just imagine, so we're trained to do it. We can do it. It's just a matter of learning to give God our attention in the same way, accepting that the Spirit's going to speak to me. Lord, what are you saying? Throughout the day, moment by moment, Lord, what do you have to say? Your servant's listening. How can I partner with you today? Now, how does God speak? We're really not told how he speaks to Samuel. We're really not told anytime how he speaks to the people he speaks to. All we know is that they understand, they hear, they're aware that God is speaking. And so is it verbal? Is it audible? Maybe. Sometimes he speaks through thunder, right? We know he speaks through his word. We know he speaks through dreams. We know he speaks through circumstances and conversations and thoughts and impulses. And like Samuel, many of us are going to need a little help learning to give God our attention and learning to recognize his voice. Because it's a hard thing. We're not used to hearing the voice of the Lord, and so many of us just need some help with someone like Eli to say, I think that's God speaking to you. Why don't you go sit down and listen? I know that's been a big help to me. But a place to start is to have a space, a place, and a time where we cut out the distractions and we say, all right, Lord, I'm going to check in with you all day, but I want to just sit here for a time and listen to what you have to say to me. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to listen in prayer. Because I expect that you're pursuing me and speaking to me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I know we can do this. I mean, I love my wife, Teresa, and because of that, we have regular times when I want to be all ears to her. I'm not always that good at it, but There are a lot of times that I want to be. And so we'll have time, we'll have a space, we'll have a place where we try to cut out distraction, and I say, "Speak, dear, your husband is listening." And sometimes I can do it. So we know what this is about. And it's just a matter of learning to do this with our Lord through His Holy Spirit. See, this is all about love. Love is what obedience is all about. Because as we listen, then we want to do what God is asking of us. We want to participate in what He's calling us to, what He's wanting us to partner with Him in. Obedience isn't just trying to live up to God's expectations. It's about living into what He is inviting us to. I want to live the kind of life and become the kind of person who can partner with God. And look at Samuel at the end of chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground, meaning God brought all the things that Samuel said in his name into reality. No, none of his words dropped to this ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Now remember where Samuel began. He didn't begin here. He didn't even recognize the Lord's voice. And what happens to Samuel? He begins to speak for God, to participate in what God was doing in Israel, because he began to partner with God. And this is the important thing for us, brothers and sisters. It's not that only special people can partner with God. It's that partnering with God makes us special people. See, we get that turned around. We think, oh, well, Samuel's such an awesome guy. This is why this is happening. No, he didn't know. He's kind of dense at first. But because he partnered with God, because he said, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening. I want to invest in what you're doing." Partnering with God made him a very special person. Just like it will for you. Just like it will for me. And I just want you to imagine, what if an entire church community saw themselves as God's partners? Every single person. Every single person in a church community, or in the churches in a community, were asking, "Lord, speak. Your servants are listening." Who have that expectation. God's pursuing us. God is speaking to us. We want to give Him our attention and do what He says. Can you imagine that? How powerful and amazing that would be? Riverside is at a crucial time of transition, an interim time as we seek a new senior pastor. There are things that God is doing in the greater Lafayette through this unity build where He's beginning to stir up the churches to work together, to be a body together. More than ever, we can be partners with God and participate in what He's up to. So as we close this morning, I'm just wondering, what's your mindset towards the Lord? Are you just a servant? Do you see yourself, "I just try to do the best I can"? Or do you see yourself as a partner? That you really believe God is pursuing you and speaking to you, and you want to give Him your attention and respond to what He says? Let's just begin right now by giving Him our attention. Let's pray together. Lord, speak to us. Your partners are listening. Lord, help us to believe that You are pursuing us and speaking to us. Teach us how to recognize Your voice. Give us the power and the courage to do what You say. And may we do it out of love, Lord, that You can make us into the special kind of people You want us to be, who serve the living God, who are part of Your great commission in bringing life and hope and peace to this world. Speak to us, Lord. Your partners are listening. And all of God's people said, Amen.